The first issue I'd like to discuss with the two speakers concerns the notion of transparency. If I recall correctly, Doug made the point that queries will always retrieve subjective results. There is no way of objectively mirroring the net. You say the point about open source search engines is to make the specific subjectivity transparent. Then you say there are only a few people on the net who are actually able to understand the way search engines work. So do I get it right that the difference that Nudge makes is to increase the number of people on the net who are able to understand what search engines do, say from 3 companies and their engineers to 6 or 7 companies?
I didn't mean to say there's only a few people. It's just a minority. I'll use the same analogy I used when I was talking, which is with laws, where we don't, you and I have not read probably most of the laws that we live under, that we drive our cars under, that we, you know, do whatever
on. Definitely not.
Under. but nonetheless, we have a belief that they're reasonably fair, and if they weren't, we know which laws we don't like without having read them. And the reason we know this is because there are experts who have read them and who have said, this part is bad, this part is good, and they have arguments in public.
So we delegate this to experts.
So, yes, in the same way that we delegate, you know, legal issues to attorneys who care and to special interest groups, and it is a specialized thing, understanding it. Now, that's not the best. We obviously would like to make it the ranking algorithm, as comprehensible as possible. Come up with tools so that people can visualize it. We want to try to bring it to more people, but it is still a complicated thing that probably not everyone is going to take the time to. Mm-hmm. People should be able to if they want to. It's mm-hmm. that's what seems important to me.
I have a question. Wait. Do you believe that you
can make open source ranking algorithms robust against attacks which try to abuse faults in the algorithm?
It's the most asked question probably about this. So it's a good question. how do we handle spammers if they know the algorithm? I don't know with certainty that we aren't going to have a lot of trouble with this. So it is something. It's in fact, I think the one element of Nudge that is a research project in some ways. It's by necessity. But I also think that spammers have effectively already reverse engineered search engine algorithms. So the algorithms aren't really that secret. And so if the algorithm is published, would it really make much difference? Would it give them much more advantage than they have already? Perhaps a little. But there's also ways you can, if you look at what the search engines do now, when they find someone who is, disobeying their rules for spammers, they take the whole domain and they say, you're not going to appear in our search results for 6 months. So they have large penalties. And there's no reason you couldn't do that in an open source search engine. You describe the conditions that would happen under. And you could also, the conditions don't need to be things that if you repeat a word more than 50 times, then we'll penalize you. Now that would be dumb, because then everyone's going to put 49 of them in and you won't really have solved the problem. But if you say, if you put more than we find is statistically probable, and we're going to compute this on a regular basis and then get people who we think are violating it, you can make it harder for people to evade it. And this is, you know, effectively what Google and Yahoo and folks are doing right now, is they change their algorithm regularly and they penalize people heavily who defeat it. So I think we can do the same things. You know, I'm not sure that Google really benefits that much from secrecy. They probably benefit a little, and we'll find out exactly how much. So that's part of the answer. Another part of the answer is, if they are depending, it's actually kind of the same, another angle on the same answer, is depending on obscurity for security is not good. Right? It would be much better if we develop methods to stop spam that work even when they're completely public. So that's kind of a challenge. That is the research question. Is that possible? And is secrecy helping them? My guess is that that secrecy is not helping them that much. Yeah, it is to some degree a social problem. Yeah, I actually think it's a sub problem of the search quality problem. High quality results are results that are spam free, and I think if you focus on quality and coming up with good methods to train your search engine to give high quality results for most searches, then spam falls by the wayside. And that focusing too much on spam is probably short sighted. And that's actually, I spoke once with one of the Google fellows, and that was also their experience, that they try to spend more time focusing on getting higher quality results than spending too much time in hand-to-hand battle with spammers. That's just a distraction. They need to spend some time on it to get the egregious ones. But
I got a question for Mr. Cutting. I'm not sure I understood if you already have in place the technical infrastructure, I mean the servers, for running the Notch search engine. I mean, Google has got something like several thousand servers running. I didn't understand whether you already have that infrastructure in place or you're planning to build that infrastructure. And if you're planning to build it, who's going to pay for it?
We don't intend to. As an organization, we don't intend to run a major search engine that lots of people will come to. We hope to, sometime soon, we'd like to be able to do a large crawl of hundreds of millions or billions of pages and make that available to developers. But our primary product is not an end-user search service, but the software to run one. And because it is expensive, and we expect people who will operate one will either be for-profit institutions that will, you know, base it on advertising or whatever to fund it, or public institutions that wish to, you know, provide their citizens or just people in general, you know, philanthropic organizations. But we ourselves don't want to get in that business at this point. Okay. We'd rather, in fact, I mean, importantly, because we'd like there to be multiple large installations of Notch, and we'd rather not compete with any of them.
Okay, then I have more of a comment than a question. That you said that amongst your civic goals were the promotion of public discussion about the methods that are used by search engines, which are not, well, not often, but are not always very clear. Now the point is that even if you publish the algorithms that you use for page ranking or whatever, nobody can assure me that the code that I can download from CVS is the code that is actually running on a server which I don't have control to. So you should have, you would need to have some kind of control, I mean a link, maybe cryptographically signing the sources and the binaries to make sure that I know that that version that is running on that server is derived from those sources, because otherwise, I mean, it's just a matter of trust. But I can't trust Mr. John Doe any more than I trust Google. I mean,
it's two answers. Well, I like the cryptographic approach. I hadn't thought of that before. That's an interesting one to solve that problem. Another approach is a legal approach, to use a license that requires people who deploy Notch software to permit anyone to view their algorithm. And you, again, can't guarantee it, but if they're not doing it, they're breaking the law. And if someone can somehow detect it, perhaps through some cryptographic means that gets added to Notch's software, then they can be prosecuted. And so you know, it's not perfect, but you know, a legal binding is better than nothing. So that's the approach that we've thought about mostly is using a license that requires that. But I like the cryptographic method. That's a good idea.
Annette is next.
I have a question to Mr. Sander Boyermann. I would like to know, it's obvious to us that we don't like monopolies, but I think we're probably not the only ones who think that way. So for me, it's interesting if you have any experience of other countries who also have a proposal, and is there are there any, it's maybe a mean question, but are there any arguments against your proposal? Because on the one hand, it's so obvious, it does make sense, but on the other hand, I don't see any approach bringing this idea into reality. See, so I would like to know, what are the barriers, what are the arguments against your proposal?
This proposal is pretty new. A month ago, I even haven't had it myself because I said yes when I got the invitation to this talk here, and I was forced to think about it. I haven't thought about this very much before. this is what came out. Sure, I'm going to push and try to push it into reality, this concept, in the next months, hopefully. But your question was, the first part was about different countries and other countries' experiences with other countries, and that's interesting. About 6 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to do a presentation similar to this in Washington, and my impression was that most people there do not have any concern about monopolists. Because it's all American companies which are the monopolists, and that is from the U.S. point of view, wouldn't be too bad. Maybe, I don't know. But but in these days, there was the Google IPO announced in the newspapers, and there were any newspaper had articles how brilliant Google is and what enormous amount of money they'll make. And I could not find any word of critics, not from the monopoly point of view and not from the technical point of view. I think Google, in a technical sense, isn't the best search engine. There are much better search strategies thinkable of. And I think Microsoft is very close to this and to make it better than Google. From technical point of view, so there was no word of critics in the U.S. press. I couldn't find. Maybe you found something. But coming back to Germany, there was in most newspapers there were a lot of critics. First, if this IPO of Google would be successful, or the monopoly question. So this might be a special German point of view.
Perhaps before we take the next question, we get Doug's comment on this.
I was just going to say that I think the number of critics of Google is growing, and in particular, I think as they go public and their commercial motives become more clear, then their image will be gradually tarnished. It'll take a long time, Google, you remember, started. For several years, and for the years when they really established their reputation and their brand, without any advertising, and making no money, and they got all these users, and also delivering better search than anyone else was delivering at the time, I think they were doing a very good job, and they've since become a much more commercially oriented company, and ever more so. And once they're a publicly traded company, it's going to become more and more obvious that their bottom line is making money and not making people happy necessarily. So I think that's changing. And I'm seeing more and more skepticism. I don't know if you've seen in California, for example, There have been proposals of laws against Gmail, Google's mail mm-hmm. system, that have been going around the legislature because it doesn't respect people's privacy sufficiently. And they've had several of these issues recently that it's sort of public relations disasters for them, where they're trying to be very careful and maintain this reputation. They've honed this reputation. It's not an accident. Through the years, they've always been careful to make their competitors in press releases and statements look much more crassly commercial than they are, and have done a good job at it. And I think there's a sort of belief that Google, in some sense, isn't commercial, and that therefore you can trust them. And I think they haven't abused people's trust either in ways that other search engines have. And then they've reformed. People have, they've silently promoted their advertisers, and then people have said you shouldn't do that, and they've stopped doing it. And Google's never done that. They haven't betrayed the trust.
But do you also agree that there are better search technologies conceivable than the one Google is using right now? That's what Wolfgang also said.
Conceivable, sure. I mean, this is sort of related to something we were talking about earlier, which is. How mature do I think search technology is? And I think it's fairly mature, but I base that just on sort of the facts that in the early years, in the mid-90s of web search, things changed very quickly, and since the late 90s, web search has not changed much. Mm-hmm. And I would bet, I think it's a safe bet, that the general experience of you type in a few words into a box, you get back some pages, which most of which are relevant most of the time, but that sort of quality of experience, and you have links and you have a little bit of text with them, that's going to be here for a long time. Maybe there'll be other things that will come up that are related that you'll use to find pages on the net, but I think that's a fairly stable thing, and I think that's why there's the opportunity for an open source implementation.
Does this also apply to the ranking methods?
More or less, I think. I mean, again, just based on the historical fact that there haven't been major enhancements in ranking methods in the last 6 or 8 years, and you can bet that there are certainly hundreds of people at Google working on it, thousands of people around the world, all pounding their heads trying to come up with major enhancements in ranking algorithms, and they haven't come up with them, which means there's no obvious ones. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone will have a brilliant flash of inspiration, but you can't bet on brilliant flashes of inspiration. It's in fact a safer bet to bet against them.
Uh-huh. Okay. If you're talking about the state of the art, whose web search is done currently, I think this is a pretty major state. But if we think how much better searching the web could be, there's so much potential. What Microsoft is going to do, first, or the state of the art is you type in some words and you get web pages, tens or thousands of web pages. Now, wouldn't it be much better if you can type in a question, a precise question, and get just the answer instead of websites? So the new Microsoft search engine, which will be built into the Microsoft Longhorn operating system, that will work like that. If you type in, who shot Kennedy, it gives you one word, Osborne, and that's all. And that's what you wanted to know. And then you can surely refine it. When did he shoot him and why and whatever. But or why not, or whatever. But first, if you ask someone a precise question, you want to have a precise answer, and you don't want to have thousands of web pages. Normally. And if you look at different strategies, the Microsoft search engine, first of all, will search on your own personal computer. It won't run over the web. And nowadays, the file systems are so big on your own computer that you maybe already have the answer on your computer and you don't need to run a search engine. So this is the second obvious point. And if you look behind this scene, how Microsoft is doing this, the concept is ever so simple and pragmatic and realistic. There's no semantic weapon, all this semantic nonsense in it. What they do is they just rewrite the question. If you type in who shot Kennedy, then there are probably web pages who have an answer like, Kennedy was shot by Dadadam, or Dadadam shot Kennedy. And they're doing a string search for this phrase, and that's all what they do, and cut out the right words. It already works. Yeah, it already works in the lab. But it will come out, yeah, with a Longhorn system that maybe in 2006.
Mr. Boyerman,
I think I agree that personal search, where not personalized, but search of people's personal data, is something that is sorely needed. And I hope we'll roll out soon that better search for your email, for pages you viewed. In the past, for search of your personal history, your address book, all that sort of stuff, should be a part of one's integrated part of one's search experience. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft is promising that.
Yeah.
But I think when you're searching, most of the time, you're not searching that because you know most of that. And most of the time, what I'm searching for is something I don't know.
Yeah.
Haven't seen.
Let me go one step further on. And actually, search engine, or a really good search engine should do it. It should do it like if you ask a librarian, a man in the library, for a special theme. He would ask you back, he would put you questions. If you have a word in your query with several meanings, he would ask you, what do you really mean? And after this dialogue, then we'll give you the right book or the right article. And that's how search engines should work in the future. Maybe most of you have seen the dialogue with the Star Trek television, where someone asks a computer and he asks you back, and then after a while, after this dialogue, you get the right answer. And that's how search engines should work.
Mr. Boyerman, what are the current legal limitations on using results of search engines? I mean, my browser is already a piece of software that does interpret the HTML stream coming back from the search engine. So why should I not have my own meta search engine on my computer doing exactly that?
The legal situation gives a lot of shelter to the organization which has maintained the database. Economic value should be sheltered, and meta searching is allowed only if the maintainer of the database gives you allowance to do this. And for our German meta search engine, MetaGer, we have from all of the search engines which we query, we have the allowance. If you do this from your personal computer, you can't. No, not any user can ask the search engine if he's allowed to do. Maybe it is forbidden for the personal computer, but this is such a small amount, which comes from one single personal computer, that the search engine wouldn't care about it. But the problem will maybe to distribute the software which makes this possible. I'm not sure if this is under German law, if this is legal or not.
So let's just imagine that I would write a special web browser that would specifically forward all my requests, everything I enter, to all the known search engines, and would display in a very special way the results from the search engines, just like your meta search engine does nowadays. That way I would have a very specialized browser that does only meta searching.
Now, if you do this from your personal computer, it's not legal under German law. But if you do it just 10 times a day, nobody will care. But it is the law does not allow it unless you have permission to do this.
But I don't understand. The browser I use nowadays already does interpret the answer. So what is special about meta searching then? What makes meta searching special? Where does meta searching start? Where does the phrase meta searching by definition begin?
You're using the databases of other companies, and those companies have invested a lot of money to run these databases, and if you use their database for meta search without their permission, it's not allowed. I'm not saying that this is sensible. It's just like the situation is, like lawyers told me. What is? What browsing? No. But I think we should. You have to discuss this with legal people. I'm not. It's not my business.
Yeah. First, I have a question, a comment on the previous topic about the state of art of searching. I work for a media asset management company, and we use Lucene, by the way, for our searches. So thanks a lot. But we consider text search maybe not optimal today, but it's pretty good. But text is just a small part of the internet. Media is getting so much bigger, and searching. For like finding an image that is similar to the one image that I'm looking at, or finding a logo inside a movie and stuff like that. That's really, and you've only discussed text searches so far. So that's just one comment I wanted to make. And then a technical question about the free search engines. If I understood it correctly, you outlined this hierarchical architecture or scheme for basically for load balancing purposes, so that not one single resource had to index the whole web,
what?
And also for dependency reasons, so that we as users didn't have to depend on a single institution or entity, right? So my question is, there's one architecture that is very, I guess, very hyped today, but has proven itself in many other domains, which is the peer-to-peer architecture. Have you looked into or thought of organizing these search engines in a peer-to-peer network instead of your topological, hierarchical mm-hmm. architecture?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, we have not thought about this peer-to-peer model. It might be an idea, yeah. Depending on, I mean, the peer-to-peer networks, I know they all need to install software to have this peer-to-peer network running, and what we would not like is that the normal user has to install any software to integrate into this structure. It should run just by normal HTTP protocols.
Yeah, but if you can organize it so that you have a client-server model, which you are proposing mm-hmm. right now, and have that without having to install the software, then of course you can do it peer-to-peer based as well. If you can install the software without the user having to do it manually, then that software can use peer-to-peer or client-server. So that problem exists regardless of the underlying architecture.
We have to think about it, but I don't think that peer-to-peer would be the right model, because this is a layered model, and the layers are defined. One layer must be on top of the other one, and peer-to-peer is... or the peer-to-peer nets I know are without structure. They are really decentralized in any way, and this has to be in a certain way.
I actually think you could build a whole web search engine using peer-to-peer methods. The problem is that it wouldn't be as good as a centralized search engine, and so you would, I think, have trouble getting users to use it. And the reason it wouldn't be as good, among others, is that it wouldn't be as fast, and that a fast search engine is a good search engine. Mm-hmm. I think there already mm-hmm. is effectively a dialogue between the user and the search engine. People type in a query, they look at the results, and they diagnose why their search wasn't right, and they change their search, and they do another search. And they do this very quickly. We all change our queries quickly. Tried fewer variations of their searches, they're going to find what they're looking for less often. It's still probably worth trying to build it, and networks will get faster, and eventually that probably is a good solution. But right now, I might be interested to see it built, but I think I've played with such things, and it's very hard to get the kind of performance you need to make people really like your search engine in a peer-to-peer system. Sorry.
He's next. Takes a long time.
Mr. Cutting, are there companies or search engines which support your project, and who is it?
Right now, our primary funder is Yahoo Labs, which is the research division within Yahoo
And the reason they fund us is because they are interested in promoting research in the field of web search. They think that, that is an overall benefit to their company. Since I started the project, been talking to numbers of other search engines about potentially getting involved. I just got an email today from one of the top five search engines in the U.S. saying that they would like to start using Nudge. Who knows whether that will pan out. I've received such emails before. So I'm hopeful that we'll get more commercial search engines who will start using Nudge. But right now, Yahoo is our primary funder.
Thomas Thaler.
I wanted, maybe it's too early, because this is sort of a last question. I just wanted to ask, after all what we said, will there be a scenario after Google? And when will it come? And how what do you think, what will it look like?
I think what we're going to see in the next couple of years, my prediction, is we're going to see that Google start to share the stage with a few other players. I think the heyday of Google, I think they'll probably be the lead for a while until they make some big mistakes. But eventually they probably will, in the same way that, Ford was the biggest car maker for a long time. They had an early lead, but they're no longer, really controlling that market. And I'm hopeful that some of these competitors that start to grow will be based on open source and will operate transparently. And that's what I'm trying to help happen. I won't make a prediction about whether that will happen. I think it's too hard to tell. Long term, I think it's inevitable that open source will be used, but long term is a long time.
Just one more comment from me. If nothing happens like I outlined, I think Microsoft will overtake. That's it.
So one effect of having the few big players we have today is that they're all in an English-speaking country and optimizing their technology for English, which is
one
very
country.
Simple language or very well-suited for search, but not everybody speaks it. If I search for the German word Haus, I get one set of results, and if I search for the plural Häuser, I get a totally different set of results. Is this something that is going to be addressed? There, you could also conceive that if I search for house, I would find pages on buildings, which are related topics but different words. Is any effort in your projects or other projects going into this direction right now?
I'm surprised if it's that bad that so many Germans use Google. with an open source project, you can't determine where the investment is going to be. You take what is given. I would hope that people around the world would, observing things like this, want to help collaborate and build something which works better for their language. We'll see if that happens.
But it doesn't right now.
Not right now, no. Google has actually invested a fair amount in German-specific technology. They do some things. They do compounding now. If you are decompounding, maybe you'd call it. If you type in I think they will find words that are part of. If you compound two words together into one, and you search for only one of them, they will find the compound word, and vice versa. If you type in the compound, they will find the component words. Actually, probably not the latter. Probably only the former, I think, is probably what they do. And they added that recently for German.
Just to follow up, this is actually where metasearch could be used, because if you enter house into a metasearch engine, it could submit both the basic form and the plural to Google and...
It's also a quality issue. I mean, classically, search engines used to do stemming. Stemming which is converting plurals to singulars, increases recall, the amount of the relevant pages you get, but at the expense of precision. which is how many of the pages you get are actually relevant. And in the web, typically recall is not what you're after. You're after precision. You'd rather have fewer results that are good results than more results with potentially some bad ones in there. House, I don't know German. In English, houses and house can be very different. House is a kind of music. Houses is not. And so, and that's frequently the case, that there are these nuances, subtle distinctions about the way singulars and plurals are used, so that if you want to, you know, really, really get the most precise results, it works out better to not do any stemming. Google in English has added stemming, and I don't know if they've done this in German in the last 6 months, but they do it very selectively and not very much. And I don't know exactly what their details of when they do it are, but they do some. Finally, and they've, you know, for so long they got away without it because, in fact, for the most part, if you don't do stemming, search is better. Surprisingly.
Some more words. What you're saying is it would be it could be made with not so much effort, but the problem is the German search engines are fighting to survive, and they don't have time or have enough resources to spend in this field. A lot of German search engines are already out of the market, and most cannot, because this point you mentioned is not of vital importance for a search engine. It's nice if it works when you type in Häuser and you have the singular search for two or something, but the search engine must make money. That's the main problem.
Okay, next question.
Yes, we agree that there are many homonyms and synonyms, but I feel the whole search industry is focusing just on one language. And so my question to the podium, did you look into multilingual approaches? In the late and mid-80s already, there were some metadata harmonization projects to not only take the terms, but their context into approach. And then my second question to the podium, did you look into switching systems in library sciences? Where switching systems, Mrs. Dahlberg, like ICC, information coding classification matrix, so you have a context of the term. And within that context, you come to multimodal search strategies. These are all things already in the open since more than 15 years. I wonder if we just want to have this market-driven approaches or if we really want to dig deeper into switching and contextual multimodal approaches.
So by multilingual, you mean, as I misunderstood, that you can search in one language and find results in another language?
Not only. You see, in the 7 UN and 5 European languages, the idea was to find it without knowing which language it is stored. So some matrices or schemas or knowledge spaces were defined to really outline the area or the field what it is about. And then combining it with full-text research or whatever. So you have an outline, which is a common frame of references. And then combine it so you have an outline to really make sure you find it even when it was first made in Japanese or Portuguese.
I mean, I'm not sure I fully understand it. We should talk more offline. But I think this falls under the general rubric of not being a research project, that we really are, and not embarrassed to say, attempting to clone the search engines that most people use, because we think people are using these not because the people are paid. The people are using them because they like them. People are voting with their feet, I think. I think they're finding them useful. And if somebody developed one that they found more useful, people would probably use that. And what we want people to do is use something that's transparent. We want to go where people are going in terms of user experience and make that transparent as a project and not try to guess where people should go, as it were. Does that make sense?
It's I think some research stuff is going on using ontologies as a context provider for search engines, just as a note to my speaker before. I'm sorry, I must come back to some already discussed issues where I really want to ask something to Mr. Sanders and Cutting. Well, we had tried to discuss the issues about peer-to-peer search engines, and as well, I see the same problem I see with peer-to-peer search engines, the bottleneck of the network traffic, I see with meta search engine on the client side as well. If I need to do, if I wish to do a meta search on my client, I need to query maybe 20 search engines, and I see a bottleneck on the client there as well. There's an interesting research paper. It's linked to Doc's blog, and I would be interested to get some ideas from you about that. It's not to use a meta crawler in a meta search engine in a classical idea, but to link different special interest search engines in a kind of peer-to-peer network, in a kind of neural network, where you not query all special interest search engines, but the search engine itself link each other to try to find the best result. I just want to get some comments about that.
I think these are the kind of ideas and thoughts which have to be discussed and which have to find out what is the right way. Yeah, this is all these thoughts are put in you. I mean, you say the meta search might be confined to the search engines which fit to the theme of the search. This would use traffic and would make the answers faster. Sure. But these are all open questions. I can't give you an answer to this.
Sorry, what do you think, just as a kind of kidding, what do you think Longhorn would answer to the question, what is the best operation system, if it's just one answer? It is good to get just one answer on a question. And my question is, what would Longhorn, Windows Longhorn, answer to the question, what is the best operation system? So just as maybe it's not the best way to just provide one answer to a question. That's maybe the
question. I typed into Google the question, what is the better, what is the best search engine? And it answered MetaGal. Okay. So.
Last question from the front row.
Yeah, I would like to get back to the peer-to-peer question the young man in the second row brought up. The comparison between hierarchical structure and peer-to-peer. Isn't it necessary to differ between the indexing process and the actual search? So I agree with you that a search in a hierarchical system is much faster. But wouldn't it be good to have the crawlers connected via a peer-to-peer protocol?
If you look at the economics, say, of Google, which we're talking about a lot here today, the majority of their expense, both in terms of bandwidth and hardware, is searching. The vast majority, better than 90%. Less than 10% is spent on fetching. You can do the math on how much bandwidth it takes to download 5 billion pages a month, and then look at how many searches they're doing a day and the size of the search pages, and they're doing far more outbound bandwidth than inbound bandwidth to their data centers, and the number of CPUs it takes to download, if you can do, say, 100 pages a second, 5 billion pages a month, is far fewer than the number it takes to search 5 billion pages at the rate they're searching them. So optimizing the crawl, if you're deploying things on a large scale, it's not interesting. You don't save significantly. You only make things more complicated and less reliable and require more replication and trust and all sorts of things like that. If you're on a smaller scale, then it could conceivably save bandwidth because you can
you can download things, you know, to lots of locations, compress them, and then only upload them compressed. You still have to. There's issues of you know, how do you trust that somebody isn't giving you, is really giving you what they said they downloaded, and probably their cryptographic means to deal with that. Mostly, I think about the economics of it, and it turns out that it's not that expensive. If all you're doing is crawling and trying to build a billion-page database, then it would be much cheaper if you could use a lot of other people's bandwidth and machines. But once you want to try to do much searching of that database, you're already in the business of having lots of disks and lots of hardware and lots of bandwidth, and it ends up not being a major expense.
So now the last, very last question.
Okay. Before with peer-to-peer networks, there was a problem. How to manage it, and you wanted the hierarchical thing. Why not define another layer of nodes that collect data from peer-to-peer clients? Not in the to index things that are in other networks, not on the normal web, but to make an individual able to publish something. So you just define nodes on the lowest level, so like small HTTP engines, but they collect information from very small clients, maybe authenticated clients, so you don't get all the spam.
Yeah, you could break up those lines into more detail. You could put more lines in it. There was already a concept years ago that the Harvest software did probably like you mean. But this goes in details. We should discuss it afterwards.
Okay, and another thing was you said it would be a problem if you had to run a special client software to access this data. You don't have to do that if you install special nodes which do the job for you. So you don't have to do anything else on the client side.
If this client side metasearch solution actually is the best one, this is not for sure. Maybe it is just sensible to include the big commercial search engines if they otherwise would block the meta search coming from a server. So I'm not sure if this meta search client actually is of this high importance. It's a legal question too.
So unless there are further questions, I'd like to thank our two speakers and close the panel. Thank you very much.